To CKTZ 89.5 FM, Cortez Community Radio, cortezradio.ca. I'm your host, Maureen Bader, and this is Art on the Island. In the program, I'll speak live with Cortez Island artists. We'll talk about their stories, their inspirations, and their current projects. Best of all, you can call in to ask questions and make comments. Call into the studio at 250-935-0200.
Just hold on.
Listen most Fridays between 9 and 9:30 a.m. And welcome to CKTZ. Sorry about that. And welcome to CKTZ 89.5 FM, Cortez Community Radio, cortezradio.ca. Today on the show, we've got Susanna Vijaya on the phone. Susanna, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Maureen.
Perfect. Well, first we're going to talk a little bit about the weather, because we do have a strong wind warning in effect over in the Strait of Georgia. We've got winds southeast 20 to 30 knots, diminishing southeast 10 to 20 early this morning, then becoming variable 5 to 15 near noon. Wind becoming northwest 5 to 15 early this evening, then becoming light after midnight. Winds increasing to southeast 5 to 15 near noon Saturday, and to southeast 20 to 30 Saturday evening. For us here on Cortez Island, actually, it looks like it's going to stay clear for the rest of the day and this evening, dropping to 6 degrees. Tomorrow, it probably won't start raining until the afternoon, so it's a good opportunity to get out, start raking those leaves and other super fun things that we have here as part of island life. But today, what we're going to do is talk to Susanna Vijaya, who is a Cortez Island artist and actually a CKTZ contributor. Susanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
You're out of town right now. Where are you?
Right now, I am close to Ashland, South Oregon.
What are you doing there?
Well, you know that I'm still, although I applied for residency in Canada, I'm still a tourist.
Uh-oh.
So until the residency comes, I can only stay in Canada for six months out of the year. So then I had to leave the country and spend some time out to be able to come in again.
Oh.
So, you know, mm-hmm. We come and we stay a few weeks here in a friend's farm here in Oregon. Then we go visit the other friends in California. Then we go sometimes to Vegas and see a Cirque du Soleil show, and then Phoenix, and then we go to Mexico for 3 or 4 months, and then we come back to the island in March.
Well, those are the challenges of immigration these days in Canada and the States, pretty much everywhere. It's just tough to move where you want to go.
Yeah, well, I immigrated to Brazil as well. I lived there for 7 years, and there it was very easy. I didn't need to do much, but here it's complicated, and it's expensive, and it takes forever.
Mm.
But I'm hopeful that it will come one day.
Because you're originally from Portugal, no?
Portugal, yes.
That's sort of interesting. Not that you don't really see that or find that many people in Canada from Portugal. What made you want to come to Canada?
Well, in fact, there is a lot from Azores. There is a lot of Portuguese communities from Azores that they immigrated like in the 60s, 70s, I think. But no, for me, it was a process. I left Portugal to live in Brazil, and then I backpacked there for 3 years, and I was tired, came to the States, bought a motorhome, and then while in Mexico, I fell in love for a Canadian man, and that's why I arrived here.
Romance, isn't that just the way?
Love takes us anywhere.
Because that's all very interesting, because what your CKTZ radio program is really Portuguese-style music, isn't that true?
Yes.
And you still have a show. In fact, your show is on today on the station a little bit later on, about 1 o'clock, no?
It repeats, yeah. The original show, it's Tuesdays from 11:30 to 1, and then repeats on Fridays from 1 to 2:30.
And what sort of genre, how would you describe the genre of the music on that, on your program?
The genre are all of the genres, because I'm playing, what is the glue is the Portuguese language, but it can be from Portugal or from Brazil or from Angola, Cape Verde, Mozambique, Saint Tome and Príncipe. So, you know, it can go from mazurkas to jazz to folk to fado to samba to bossa nova to marabenta, all the rhythms that you can imagine that exist on those countries, pop, reggae, hip-hop, whatever. The glue is that it has to be in Portuguese language.
I actually studied Portuguese for a couple of years when I was living in Winnipeg, of all places, because, in fact, now that you mention it, I did have some friends that were from of Portuguese descent when I was that I knew when I was living in Winnipeg. So, yeah, that's really true. So, but besides music here on the island, you do other things. I mean, you've got an exhibit at the Cortez Craft Shop, no?
Yeah.
And what's that?
So yes, I learned the macrame. I've done arts all my life, and I've studied arts always. And when I went to college, it was for interior design, and you know. But since I was very, very little, I knitted, I crocheted, I painted, I did sculpture. Arts is a constant in my life.
And why would that be true? Why do you say that? Or why do you think that happened?
Oh, because my father was super artsy, my mother as well, both grandmothers, they were very crafty, so they taught me all these crochet and knitting and embroidery and all that. So, and I am a very creative person, so I always need to be expressing myself in different means, because I also get bored, you know. Mm-hmm. I have phases, like, oh, now I'm 2 years crocheting a lot, then I get tired of crocheting, then I'll do cross whatever. So that I have that necessity of expressing myself creatively all the time.
And what is it you have made in the craft shop then?
So what my main activity right now is the macrame jewelry. Mm-hmm. And I have a brand, Loving Knots. So in 2008, I learned the macrame in Brazil. And then from 2008 till 2011, I was experimenting and I was trying things. And all the pieces that I've done, I give them away. And then at the end of 2011, when I came to the States, my goal was to buy a motorhome and do a 2 year trip back to Brazil, doing all Central America and South America. So I thought, well, what can I do that it's easy, that I can carry easily, and that I can make money while I do this trip? So mm-hmm. I thought, well, I'm getting good at this macrame jewelry, so why not make it a business? And, I start. It was just at the beginning of 2012 that I start attending farmers markets and craft markets and selling my jewelry wherever I was traveling. And that became bigger and bigger through the years, and I became better and better through the years, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I can do in Canada. Immigration doesn't matter, doesn't bother, that I can sell it in the local markets, because I'm not taking any Canadian
job
mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. with it. So it's something that I can go to the summer market on Parker's Island and make a little bit of money with it.
So did you ever actually study formally or art or macrame or weaving or painting or anything like that?
Well, in Portugal, we always have something that is called manual arts in school. Mm-hmm. And so in that class, I took all the different manual arts, you know. And then later, I went to college to take interior design.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've learned in college. But I had, as I told you, the great teachers of my life. It was both my grandmothers and my mother and my father. They taught me a lot of different arts. I remember I was like 5 or 6. my father was already teaching me wire wrapping, and I was doing little earrings, and yeah, I've always done things with my hands.
So given that you did learn from your parents, how long do you think then it took for you to develop your own style, or do you have your own style, or do you think it's still very much like your parents?
No. Macrame I learned because that's my main expression in art nowadays, and the performances that I do, but in terms of things that I do to sell, it's the macrame. Well, with the macrame, I feel that I already knew it from a past life.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened is that when I learned it with this girl, she was a macrame artist in Brazil, but in fact she was from Uruguay. And she was traveling for years and selling in markets for years, and she was really, really good. And she taught me a few things, and I started to experiment. And then 1 hour later, I was already much above what she had taught me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a very natural thing for me. It was kind of like I already knew it all, you know? That's why I think that I must have had some contact with macrame in previous lives. And then from that moment on, I totally create my own style. So I'm very different from all the macrame that you can see in South America. What I do is totally different, and it has my signature. I don't know any macrame work as the one that I do.
So then do you think your style reflects your personality? And if so, what does that say about you?
Well, I love colors. Colors are very, very, very important in my life. And that's, you can totally see that in my work. I work with almost 70 different colors of threads in my jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a main thing, that subtlety of combining the different colors and the different shades of the colors. And I love to play with color. And I love beauty. It's another, I cannot live in an ugly place. I have to be surrounded by beauty wherever I am. And I always like to dress nicely because it's for me, you know. I like to live in beauty. So I try to represent this in the pieces that I create.
Well, certainly whereabouts in Brazil did you live? Or you traveled all over, you said?
Yeah, I traveled all over. For 3 years, I backpacked from Belém do Pará in the north to...
Around the Amazon.
Garopaba. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to Garopaba in the south. I traveled a lot. But then the other 4 years, I was in Bahia, in Bahia State, close to Itacaré.
So it's all very tropical and lots of colors. That certainly would be inspirational.
Yes. Brazil is very colorful, very colorful.
So just going back to the macrame that you sell here on the island, when you talk about macrame jewelry, what does that mean?
So macrame is the art of knotting.
Mm-hmm.
So it started by the fishermen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Back
That's interesting.
In the day,
just like making their nets.
Yes, and they would be spending, you know, many months in the sea, and then they start playing with the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Not only by the knots that they needed to do on the boats, but then from there they have a lot to do belts and to do bags and things like that. But they would be seated on the boat and knotting the ropes. So it seems that, I think it was the Turkish that started it, and then eventually they arrived in Portugal, and then Portugal arrived in Brazil in the 1500s, and then it became a very popular art in South America.
But when we go, so someone goes to the craft shop and they want to see what it is you make. What kind of things do you make for the craft shop?
I do necklaces and bracelets.
Necklaces and bracelets. Yeah, because when I was in the craft shop as well, I saw your work. It was all very interesting and actually very popular. I think you must have done fairly well at the craft shop this summer. No?
Yeah. Well, I can't complain. Probably enjoy. Everything that I do is one of a kind. And, I've been more prolific through the years and also understanding what people like the best and what doesn't sell as much, you know. At the beginning, I would love to make these pieces that would take me 1 week and they would be super heavy and strong. But there is not many people that appreciate those pieces nowadays, or even that has a style that can handle such big and strong pieces. So I've been developing more simple things through the years, but beautiful. And now, more recently, a year and something ago, or close to 2 years ago, I started mixing the beading and the macrame.
Right.
And that gave a total different, style my jewelry.
Yeah.
I can mix very good beads, stone beads, with the macrame, and it looks gorgeous.
So what gave you that idea to mix the beads or stones with the macrame?
Well, in fact, this was funny. I bought from Namchi some string beads from India. And the hole was too little. It was too fine. So I couldn't use them with my thread. So I had, and I bought, I don't know, close to $100 of labradorite, and it was moonstone, and I don't remember what else. But they were gorgeous and very, very good quality stone beads. And I kept them aside because I couldn't use them with my thread. And then I thought about it and I said, well, but why don't I mix the technique and I use a different wire, a beading wire, and the pliers and the crimped tubes, and I mix the techniques. So I've been learning since then, and I've tried to experiment these different techniques, and the results are really nice.
They certainly are. People need to. Well, where can people see your art right now? Do you have a website, or because I mean, the craft shop is closed.
Yeah, it's closed. Hollyhock, the store, closed as well. Right now, I still have some pieces in Quadra Island at the Raven Song Gallery.
They're
at the Kwiatkowski Cove, right next to Hump on Nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, up there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful art gallery, and I left a few pieces before I leave the island. I left a few pieces there.
So when you make a bracelet or a necklace, is there something beyond a piece of jewelry that you're trying to express?
Oh, yeah, and the processes are so, you know, I have so many different processes of creating, but I work with energies of the stones, you know. I have several books that talk about the properties of the stones, so I try to be connected with that and play with that energies and the colors at the same time and the shapes. I have a few notions also of, you know, feng shui and all energies and shapes react with each other. And so it's a mix of all of this together that I'm creating. But the ultimate place is like a beautiful power piece. You know, that's what I want to offer to beautiful ladies.
Because that's a little bit what feng shui is about, no? Is sort of getting a flow of energy and the good spirits and all that sort of thing. You must have got that in your from your interior design work.
Well, and I did a few workshops feng shui, and you know, even the shapes. No, if you have a triangle, you know that the energy will come out through there. But then if you put it a triangle in the middle of a circle, the energy is more contained. So I try to play with that, with those shapes also while I do my necklaces.
And when you're here on the island, what sort of production challenges do you face? I mean, you mentioned you got a bunch of beads from India. Did you source those in India? Did you buy them online somewhere? How do you source your material?
I also go to the Tucson Gem Show in Tucson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. When's that?
That is the biggest show of the world, and that's all month of January.
Ah.
And 2 years ago, I went and I spent $6,000 in stones and beads. So I'm good for a few years. But if in the meantime something, you know, I need something, I buy online.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you didn't have trouble getting shipments into Cortez Island?
No, not more than everything else. The problems that we have with the deliveries there, but no, it's doable. And then I love that it's an art that I don't need a lot of space. Of course, I have boxes and boxes of beads and stones, but I can be seated, you know, and that's all I need. It's a comfortable chair with a clipboard on my knees, and I can be there for hours making my knots. And I love to work home, being at home. So that's very, very, very comfortable for me. I love it.
So in addition,
and I can do it wherever I go. You know, I can do it on the ferry. I can do it while Lyle drives. I can be seated next to him and nodding. It's very practical in that way.
No, it is. It's nice to be able to take your work with you and do it wherever you happen to be, you know?
Yeah, it's lovely.
So in addition to the craft shop, you mentioned a couple of other places where you market your work on Quadra. Is there any other way you market your work?
No, I have a Facebook page. I used to have a Etsy store and a website, but I'm not a computer girl. I don't like to be hours on the computer, and Etsy, that's what it represented to me. I had to be hours on managing my page on Etsy. So I quit. Now I have a Facebook page just to say I have something, you know. But what I really like is the direct contact with people at the market. I love that. I love to receive repeated customers. You know, I have clients that come every year. They buy a piece from me.
Oh,
we already have like four or five people, you know, but it's kind of a thing for them. They come to Cortez Island, and maybe this time is not already for them. It's for the sister that liked what the pieces that the lady have. So I ask, oh, if you go to Canada, to the Cortez Island, bring me a piece from that lady. You know, so I love that. I love to know where my pieces are going, you know, that exchange of energy between the person that buys it and me. At the market, I love that.
So do you go to all three Cortez markets?
Well, I used to. The last 2 years, I'm not going to Squirrel Cove anymore.
Oh.
Squirrel Cove, it's slower and slower, and it doesn't really pay. And I'm there at the craft store, so
yes.
You know, whoever is at Squirrel Cove and wants something from me can go to the craft store. But I do the Manson's Hall, the Friday market, and the Gorge when it happens, July and August.
And how are the volumes there at the Gorge? Some other people who I've had on the show are saying that the Gorge market volumes are actually increasing. Do you find that as well?
Oh, yeah. The Gorge market through the years, I'm doing it for 7 years already, and it's becoming better and better and better every year. Every year, more vendors attending, and it's a beautiful place to be.
It certainly
is. You know, yeah, it's a gorgeous place to be. So, and the boaters have money to spend. That's the reality. You know, people that are on the boat having a great vacation, many come from the States already traveling for weeks, and then they love to support the artists and take something from us, you know, to their own town or home or family. And, you know, I'm also very, I can do pieces of, I have bracelets for $8, and I have necklace for $18, you know, so, and I can also have necklace for $300, but I have things for all the prices, it's also, you know, for people that want to bring little gifts for the family and all that, I also have those kinds of things, more inexpensive.
Yeah, well, it's good to have something for every price level when you're at a place that's so with such a varied clientele like a market. It's because, as you said, you know, you have wealthy people from the yachts, but you also have local people from the island, and some have money, some don't, and this allows everyone to get a little piece of Susanna.
Yes, and I also do a lot of things for kids. You know, mm-hmm. I love to do things for children. So I have all my collections of little bracelets for little kids, and that's adorable. I also love them to come to my table, and sometimes, you know, 10 kids there at the gorge come from the campground, and they know that they have the $10 to buy a bracelet, and it's lovely to see them choose their bracelet because of the bead, or mm-hmm. this one wants the cat, and this one wants the bumblebee, and, you know, so I also love to do things for kids.
Do you ever do any sort of workshops for kids?
Well, I taught macrame. I had a few classes. I gave a few classes of macrame on the island a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and it was well attended. I had a few kids attending. But then life got more busy, and I didn't do it again.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe sometime in the future.
Maybe sometime in the future, yes.
So do you have any plans for showing your work when you get back to Canada outside of the craft shop and the market? So,
well, I'm also, you know, waiting for my residency.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my residency comes, then I'll be more comfortable to, you know, to go to expand more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe find a nice gallery in Vancouver to represent me, maybe another one in Victoria to represent me. I would love that, and that's definitely a goal.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I'm just keeping it mostly at the markets and, you know, a few stores on our island and on Quadra, but very little. And I'm waiting for the residency to come, even to build a business, you know, to pay taxes, to do everything legal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So I'm waiting for the residency for that.
Okay. Do you have any advice you can give to local artists?
Oh,
you know,
I don't know. I think that the main thing is that we love what we do, you know, and that's the main thing, that we love what we do, and we never lose that. But then I've also the intelligence to understand what is sellable and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just love something so much, and we insist, but it doesn't sell.
Right.
You know? So the balance between those things is very important. It's not compromise. Okay, I'm still loving what I love to do, and I'm putting myself in this with the love that I have for this art, but at the same time, try to find a channel that you'll be compensated for what you love to do.
Mm-hmm, definitely. At the very minimum, cover your costs, no? But it would be also nice to make food money.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for phoning in. It's been really, really interesting. And so people can see your art on your, right now, on your Facebook page. What's your Facebook page address, do you know?
It's Loving Knots. If people look for Loving Knots, I think that they will, Loving Knots by Susanna Vijaya, I think that they will find me on Facebook. Yes.
And they can communicate.
And mm-hmm. there's a lot of pieces at the Raven Song Gallery in Quadra Island, so people can go for Christmas gifts. And I left a bunch of the $18 necklaces and more bigger pieces, but people can go there for the Christmas gifts as well.
Well, thank you very much, Susanna. It's been great talking to you, and we look forward to your return to the island.
Me too. I feel that I'm always following the tidelines, and, you know, Cortez Island is home, and
mm-hmm.
Things were pretty, pretty agitated on the island, and I'm kind of feeling that I'm missing a lot of things.
Yes.
But, you know, I will get in touch with everybody when I come back in late March.
That's great. Well, we look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Art on the Island on CKTZ 89.5 FM, Cortez Community Radio, cortezradio.ca. Your host was Maureen Bader. If you are a Cortez Island artist and you'd like to be on the program, please send me an email to artcortezradio@gmail.com. Bye for now. Having puppies, it could be
like there's something on.